Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Okay, we are going to cover this. Listen, I can't let this go lightly, so I'm going to pull this up because I want you to know what's coming. So real quick, well, the title of my message was Flippy Yui. And they put such great effort into this screen. Look at this. Everyone know what Flippy Yui is? How many grew up where your dad missed every exit? So it's just like, all right, Flippy Yui, Flippy Yui. My whole life has been Flippy Yui. So it's kind of this joke. I was in worship last week, and God gave me, oh, no, it was 2 weeks ago. God gave me 5 of my next sermons and the titles, all the scripture to go with it, and then was down with all during a worship song. I mean, that was the anointing. I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. So I worked them all out. That was my title of the one I was supposed to preach today. And then it was amazing. Some stuff went down last week and at our church. Pastor Jurgen was just talking about it. Nah, not on my watch. This is not going to happen in my state. This isn't going to happen in the country that I came to, that I just became a citizen in, to let this go down in my state where our house is planted. We're not doing it. Matter of fact, unleash the beast. Do whatever we need to do. And, you know, some people have a messed up understanding of what the meaning of the separation of church and state means. Okay, so I'm just going to go there a minute. Don't get uncomfortable. Come back to the 5. It's going to be a great service. But I'm telling you, it was to protect the church from what government could dictate, not having us not get involved in politics. So we're not telling you what to say, but I'm telling you, I'm going to preach on sowing and reaping today. So on Tuesday, I had this little burr in my spirit. I watched a movie called No Greater Love that rocked my world. My eyes were sweating profusely while my wife was passed out, and I was just crying watching this. Oh, yeah. But what happened was like, oh my gosh, I got to call someone at our church and find out what the ministry with military is. Oh wait, I am that guy. So as soon as I found out I am the guy responsible for missions and military, watching that movie, I said, that's it. Line in the sand, we're doing something big. So next week when I have a slide and you want to text something, probably the word military, I'm going to give it to you. Because whoever wants to get involved to do radical things to help support our military, we're going to do. This movie, No Greater Love, was about a chaplain that put on a video camera because he can't carry a gun, and he went into the deep Afghanistan with his whole team and what went down. And let me tell you, it was powerful. Thank God this guy knew how to pray. But I'm telling you, it was radical. The movie is radical, got 100% tomatoes, rotten tomatoes, whatever it was, tomatoes across the thing. Won every award, and I was crying like daddy's little girl Tuesday night. So we're going to support it. Second thing is when this came through, I was like, oh man, I got this awesome message on Flippy Yui. And then God's like, no, I want you to preach this on sowing and reaping. I was like, no, we've heard that kind of stuff. And he's, no, started downloading me. I'm like, oh, that's okay. Those are great principles. I'll save that. But then I went to my wife's like, oh, I got chairs. You got to take Micah to her school at Cambridge, and they're going to do this little thing. She's going to read you a Charles Dickens poem. And I was like, oh, okay, fine. I was like a good dad with my camera. But before my daughter went up, one of the teachers that got up there just drops a bomb on this principle that God's been working on me all week. I was like, oh, if you're going to take this kindergarten situation and teach me a lesson in less than 3 minutes, how many know I'm going to be obedient? How many know so much so that last night on the planning center, poor little emails that go out, said all it said was there, Dr. Matt, as of 10 p.m., has not given us any notes or verses or anything. So let's give it up for my team that has to tolerate. Come on that. But I mean, no, it's a good thing because I know it's fresh, real, and powerful because it just went down, okay? And another thing that's great is I'm not even nervous because I know it's God's word, not my word. So it's his reputation on the line, not mine. I just got to make sure I open my mouth and deliver something. So we're going to hear what we need to hear today, but I want to tell you why it's so important. It's almost like, do you like what you see? Could be the title of my message. Or Man in the Mirror, but then you'll think of Michael Jackson, but I love that song. Or what season are you in? Or do you want to harvest? Or does your harvest suck.com? Whatever you want to say, we're going to go here. But we're going to start it off because I want to tell you what's going on right now, that this is going to be passed unless the church stands up. This is going to get passed in San Diego Unified Schools. And this is just to let you know, once this goes, then California goes. And as California goes, the United States goes. How do you know I know that? Because I've been in politics a long time. Matter of fact, I'll never forget when I put a prayer request in here at church, praying for my organization, my field in the state of California. They're under attack. So I was praying about it. And God says, well, you can pray about it or you can be about it. I said, well, I'm going to do both. Okay, what's be about it? Good, you're going to run for president. Oh, sugar. My poor wife had to tolerate me. But then, you know, it's usually you go the political route and you work your way up. And if you do good, you work your way up secretary, you know, treasurer, first vice president, second vice president, and maybe one day you'll be president. Nope, I checked the box. It said president only or nothing. I didn't go over well for people who have been working their tail off for years, working their way up the ladder. But how many know when God says something, he's going to open the door that no man can shut. It's okay. I believe what his word says. Truth. And then I know he says that I will not be mocked. So if he told me a thing, how do you know, I might be the only one that saw it coming, and I was, but I became president that year. And then I went in to then lay down the foundation of every president after me that had been amazing people that have done what they needed to do to get it across the line. But we took back our profession. Now, I want to tell you what's about to be taught to our kids, because you just got to figure out what you want to do. It's either time, money, or resources. Unless you think this is okay. And I'll just tell you, and this isn't me, but I'm going to step over here because this stuff shouldn't even be talked about in the pulpit. Here's a few things that are about to be taught. Introducing sexual behavioral, three different type, by the way, of sex to your children as young as 11 years old, sixth grade. Okay? Sixth grade, they're going to say things that right now, I won't even say from this platform. Okay? But here's what I will say. They're going to present mutual masturbation, bathing together, and dry sex is an appropriate way for middle schoolers to express affection until they're ready for full sex. Oh, should the church say that? Oh yeah, because no one else will. If you feel a little insulted that I would say it, I'm insulted too, that I had to say it to my congregation. But if it doesn't stir something, what will? Now, here's the caution. Here's the caution that they're putting. You ready? Caution students, this is a huge caution, don't rely on religious organizations for information because it may be biased. Okay, I have a 3-year-old, 5-year-old, one on the way. Should get you riled up. Should get you fired up. For those of you that have like a senior in high school and they're about to graduate, God bless you. Everybody else, them are fighting words to me. So as a church, what are we gonna do about it? Well, first thing is Tuesday night. I'm busy, I have a potluck, Oprah's on at 4. I get it. A lot of people didn't show up when I was president to do the things, but I had enough people that we shut down a lot of things. But there's still some things that got passed on my watch because people didn't fight. We cannot be apathetic. And you might say, well, my kids go to a private school, it's okay, or a charter school. No. Once they get this, they're coming after and they're gonna base the curriculum. This curriculum that they putting forth wasn't free. I know it costs about $250,000, maybe more, to put stuff in for every grade. How hard are we going to fight for it? Should get you rallied up. I even know good causes out there that God is blessing. But until they figure out a strategy, they're just going to sit there and wheel spin. They got to figure out the why. And as a church, our why needs to get bigger. And that's why this message was provoked out of that Tuesday that was sealed by a kindergarten teacher on Friday. That's why we're going to drop out the 7 laws of harvest, 7 laws of sowing and reaping, 7 laws of what do you see in the mirror? Do you like it or do you want to change it? How many are with me? Ready? All right, let's read out of Luke 4 because I want to give you some context. Because I want to tell you that the devil, one, is a liar. Number two, is an intimidator. And of Luke 4:13, it says, when the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. NIV. The Message. When the devil pretty much said that completed the testing, the devil retreated temporarily, lying in the wait for another opportunity. Some translations say another season. So it's amazing that the devil was either dumb enough or just thought if he just was persistent enough that he wasn't just going to come once. He might come again and again. He was able to do that to Jesus. How much more so are we? This might be the first time that we see this bill, but it won't be the last. It's going to keep coming around till we smash it. See, even if we say, well, I'm on this mountaintop, do you know that you got to go through a valley to get to the even greater mountaintop of the next one? Every mountaintop, God's not asked you to stay where you're at. He's always said it so you grow, to increase. The life of a Christian should spiral upwards. I've seen it happen. You get bound in religion, I've seen it spiral downward. But God has set us free that we may go from giant slayer to giant slayer. I'm telling you. Come on, don't make me preach hard. Come on. I'm just letting you tell you, if the devil was gutsy enough to go after Jesus, you might be walking through a season of spiritual warfare, but how many know it's just a season? I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Some of us have stopped and we just got to keep walking. So what season are you in? I like to call this the laws of what's seen. So let's preach this thing. Out of Galatians 6 is the context that I really want to come around. Galatians 6, 6 through 10. I love this. It says, do not be deceived. It says, God is not mocked. I love how it starts off with that because pretty much, why would God warn us? Do not be deceived. How many know what the devil comes to do? Comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and he does it through the number one way of deception. How do relationships get broken? Deception. How does money mess up relationships? Deception. Every nasty thing I've seen in and outside the church always starts with the one tool, deception. Could start off as a little lie. Next thing you know, you're doing this, you're doing that. Deception. So God's saying, do not be deceived, but God is not mocked. So if he said a thing, if you've been prophesied over, if God's given you a word, but now you're feeling sorry for yourself. We got around some stinking thinking. We forgot to renew our mind. We forgot to have accountability. We forgot connect group. Maybe we just started going through the motions with church. Maybe we just started going through the motions with marriage. God's saying, if I gave you a word, my word is good enough to see it through a thing. How many know that he's true? His promises are yes and amen, but we forgot to say amen. So what I'm saying is, he's starting off strong and bold here, saying, one, don't be deceived, and second of all, I'm not mocked. I promised you to get through a thing. You're going to get through a thing. He then goes right on to say, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. Why would he tell us that? We're going to get tired. So do not grow weary while doing good. You know, it's so funny, but when you have a bunch of people cheering you on, you know, it's easier not to get weary. Two things happen. One, if you train for it, you're not going to get weary. And you got the right people around you cheering you on, believing in you, prophesying over, you got this. Guess what? Two of the greatest things I've seen. Isolate. You might have problems. Internal dialogue pops up. For in due season, not tomorrow, not next week, in the right season, in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Lose what?
Heart.
That's right. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are the household of faith. We're at a different standard. We have a secret weapon. It's called the Word of God. It's called the Holy Spirit. We are at a different standard. It says, let us do good to all, especially those who are in the household of faith. Let's honor our brother and our sister. Let's take care of one another. Let's look out for one another. In Genesis 8:22, as long as the earth endures, how long? Forever. as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Let me just tell you, you're going to go in seasons. You're going to walk through things. There isn't just sunshine and butterflies all the time. So if you're in a season, whether it's high, when it's low, let's prepare for the next season. If you're up here, let's put stuff away. Let's put some deposits in our heart because we need some words. Sometimes my wife will say amazing things about me and I'll write them down so I don't forget when she's yelling at me next week. Literally, we get together, we have a coffee break agenda, and I got a 10 out of 10 a couple weeks ago, and then last week was like a 7 out of 10. I'm like, babe, remember when I was a 10 out of 10 last week? Look, I wrote it down right here. You know what? I'm glad I wrote it down. This will sustain me. And I'll change, okay? I'm sorry. But I'm telling you, we're going to go through seasons. So why I'm teaching you this, these are laws. I'm giving you 7 laws, the laws of what's seen. What are you seeing? Do you like it or do you not? Here we go. You ready for law number 1? Oh, sugar, I got to go fast. Here we go. Law number 1, we reap only what has been sown. Now, this doesn't mean just you. So I want you to think about this. From the labor and sowing of others, what we reap was planted either naturally or purposely, either by God or by man. And for either positive or for negative results, we reap the fruit of much for which we have extended no labor because we enter into labor of others, either for good or bad, meaning some of us have walked into a harvest we did not plant. Okay, let me help some people out here. Some of you don't like the harvest. You're walking into stuff like, I never asked for this. See, I came Christian my whole life. Never saw anything too radical. But I'll tell you what. When I came to this house and I heard the first time generational curses, I started looking at things a little bit differently. Huh, it's so weird. How did I go 30 years and never heard anyone preach on generational curses? Yet now that I have Google and I read the Bible for myself, not who just preached it, that was a weird concept. Oh, generational curses, stuff gets passed down. There are some people sowing seeds in my family that have been passed down from generation to generation to generation. It's amazing. Generational curses like divorce, like poverty. I'm telling you. It makes DNA nights a whole lot more entertaining when you see someone get delivered of a generational curse. It's worth going to. If you've never been to a freedom night, you want to see someone get set free of a generational curse. Let me tell you, it's a spiritual thing. It gets bound to us spiritually. How come I can never get ahead? How come I can do this? You know what? Maybe it's just a belief system. Well, that's part of it. But if your grandpa and your dad and you are all struggling financially, let's look at a generational curse. Let's look at divorce. In my family, I saw my grandpa, who was a pastor, get divorced. And then I saw it after 32 years of marriage happen to my own mom and dad. How is that possible? They didn't see it coming. Generational curse. Guess what's one of the first things I took communion over once I learned this when I got married? To break that generational curse of divorce in my family because it goes no further in the name of Jesus. I don't know, we have victory in it, but you don't know a thing if you have a blind spot. And I know so many Christians just walk around thinking, I'll just try harder in my marriage. I'll try one more book. I'll try one more thing. No, why don't you just get a generational curse broke off that thing and set you up on a right foundation so you can have victory. Otherwise, here we go, around the mountain one more time. So we reap only what has been sown. Now, the good news is we can sow. Right here, I just want to say this. It's so funny. I was doing this study on sowing, and this quote popped up about South America was settled by the Spanish who came to the land in search of gold. But North America was settled by the Pilgrims' fathers who came in search of God. That's what made the difference. One was searching for gold, and it was passed down. It's amazing. You know, but I want us to understand because I would sit there at Westmont. I went to a great Christian school, learned a lot, loved it. But it was amazing, generational curses. I remember someone asking the question, I'll never forget, and I watched him get shut down by my Christian doctrine teacher. Never thought of it again. But then I came to this house and I was learning about it. There's 3 things that we're already starting in the red. Here are the 3 things. Number 1, we reap a certain amount of wrong because we inherited it from our parents. They weren't perfect. They didn't have the manual. Number two, we reap the sin of Adam and Eve because they passed that along to our children because we live in a sin nature, starting all the way back in the book of Genesis. And number three, we reap the wrong of foolish and corrupt leaders because we're in a decaying society. We're in this society that is a messed up culture. And guess what? We're in the greatest, we're in America. We're in a godly nation, and we're still raging. You could feel the tension right now. But we were founded on godly principles. What about every other nation? I'm telling you, let's be grateful from where we're at, but we're already starting in the red, so we got to learn how to weed our garden, which I'm going to get to it. Sowing and reaping. We've already been, people have already sowed into our life, and we need to draw us in. We need to look at our own field and say, that's it. I want to examine my own field. I want to take responsibility of my own field. I want to start getting those weeds out of here so I can actually start producing the fruit that I want in my life from the seed that I'm picking up in His Word. Come on, somebody say amen. Law number two is, we reap the same kind as we sow. If you're negative, you're gonna reap negative. Positive, you're gonna reap positive. How do I know? Sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. You know, I love it because David was, you know, the Bible talks about he was a man after God's own heart. Yet, it doesn't matter where you've been because God has a destiny for you. But, you know, he coveted his neighbor's wife, committed adultery, committed murder, stole things, bore false witness, all these things, and yet God still blessed him. But there was still repercussion because go do a study on all his offspring. And you see sowing and reaping in full effect. John 3:6. This is why I love this verse, and don't ever forget this, because it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. Listen. That which was born of the flesh is flesh. See, this is the law of reaping, the same kind as we sow. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, the same law. Because of this, the natural man can only sow and reap according to the flesh. But in Christ, we become new spiritual creations, new creatures with the capacity to sow and reap of the Spirit. Go back to Galatians and read Galatians again. See, when you're born again, meaning I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, you're a new creation. You're going to start reaping new spiritual things. So it doesn't matter your past. Somebody should give God an amen for that. Come on. Law number three, you're staring at me. You're staring at me, making me nervous. Law number three, we reap in a different season than we sow. I give honor to that kindergarten man at Cambridge. Thank you, sir. It was amazing. He was just like, this is what he said. And I was thinking about it. It was like, wow. We have a mentality that's messed up sometimes. So let me say, we reap in a different season than we sow. What does that mean? Well, great. Here's some, I was hungry today, and I was like, I want an apple. So I was like, you know what? I'll just get some apple seed. I'm just going to put some seed in here. Come on. Where's my seed? There it is, right there. Oh, come on. Let's get that apple seed going. Sweet. I was starving this morning. Where's my apple? Where's my apple? Prophesy an apple. Totally screwed that up. I'm sorry, I need water. Apple. I want an apple. Jesus, Jesus, fire, fire, apple, apple, day, go. Bishop Rag, apple. Come on. Sometimes it takes time to reap a harvest. Does anyone get what I'm saying? But yet we have an expectation that I should get an apple because I just sowed in the apple seed. But even on the back of this content, it says, sow in full sun early spring, midsummer for a fall crop. In frosty areas, so a little bit earlier. Even when you add Jesus, it still takes time to get a harvest. I just want us to know, even though we live in this expectation, I want it now, fast food this, Starbucks says this, I can put it in my app early, I can get everything I want in a minute. How many know these are principles and laws of seed time and harvest that as a Christian, we need to be mature about and understand. Is that helping anybody? Come on. So just borrow someone else's apple till you get your own. It's true. That's why we have connect groups. Law number four, we reap more than we sow. Luke 6:38. Hopefully they have that one so I can go faster, otherwise I'll skip it. Luke 6:38. Look at there. Come on. Give, and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more. Running over and poured into your lap, the amount you give will determine the amount you give back. Huh. Law number four, we reap more than we sow. Law number five, we reap in proportion to what we sow. How do I know? 2 Corinthians 9:6. We know it as the cheerful giver. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Yeah. If you want to be rich, give. Right. If you want to be poor, grasp. If you want abundance, scatter. If you want to be needy, hoard. You know, I love it. When I first came here and they did the tithes message, you hear that word, is that the prosperity doctrine? No, we don't teach prosperity doctrine. We just teach Bible. It's amazing there's a lot of prosperity in it. That will free somebody up. It freed me up. And then thank goodness I listened to it because I've been blessed. I've watched other people be blessed. Countless things where it didn't make sense. Blessing came through on the other side of it because of this. So true. I loved it. If you want to be wealthy, be generous. Such backwards thinking. Because this is what the world's philosophy is. Is the man of, you know, the wisdom of man says, get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. Some of you get that later, but that's okay. Come on, it's true. I've taken a lot of personal development. Come on. All right, what we need. I just want to tell you the four things that I prayed for since I had the revelation of the Holy Spirit. I pray for this all the time. Number one, knowledge and insight. These are my four asks all the time. I asked God just show me this all the time. Knowledge and insight, because I know I need it. Faith and faithfulness. Hope and endurance. Love and labor. I want to love what I do. I want to work hard. I want to love it. I don't expect anything free. I need hope because it says I need endurance. I need faith to stay faithful. And I need knowledge, but I need the insight of the Holy Spirit because knowledge is nothing without application. Those are my four asks. Law number six, flowers and weeds. We reap the full harvest if we know what we are doing. The evil comes to harvest on its own. What's that mean? Weeds grow all on their own. Read, pray, implement, repeat. Read, pray, implement, repeat. My RPI is right there. Those are my Christian reps. Because here's what happens. If you ever look at a farmer, and I know my keys are up, so I'll hurry. But they put it in rows. Must be a reason. That's a lot of work to put stuff in rows. There's irrigation, which they spend a lot of money on. There must be a reason. Some of our time. You know, my dad has a vineyard, and they call it the million-dollar hill. He would put different varietals in different parts of the hill that he had the soil tested. And it's amazing because he put that much effort into it because I asked him one day, and he says, I want the greatest yield. So I'm putting in the greatest knowledge and time to get the greatest yield. I never forgot that. He wasn't even talking Christianese. He was talking about he wanted to be a businessman. So he wanted to be the best businessman he could, but it's a biblical principle. Right here, many a Christian has failed in their own life while seeking to minister to others. All the weeds are growing up in their own garden while they seek to hoe out everybody else's. Not in this house. Transparency, authenticity, coming to the altar. You can pray for your pastors all you want. If you see me at the altar, you should say, thank you, Jesus. Because you know what? I'm just a person working this thing out. And if the Holy Spirit tells me, I don't care. I've already lived the life. I lived the fake Christianese life. I refuse to do it. God says, get on the altar. I'm getting on the altar. You know why I'm doing it? Because I have a pastor before me, Pastor Jurgen, and I watched him do it. I said, I see the fruit of his life. That's what I want. I want epic family, epic kids, a blessing over my life, an incredible marriage. You know what? If it's good enough for him, it's good enough for me. Show me the way. I'm going to follow the way. That's a farmer that knows what he's doing. And hence his name is Farmer. But 2 Timothy 2:6, the hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of crops. That's Bible. It's amazing how many Christians just want to bless everybody else while they're suffering. They can't make payroll. They can't make it. Their kids are on ramen noodles. I know so many broke pastors. It's gotten taking care of their family first because they're building the house of God. They've had plenty of blessing, but they keep deferring it. This is wrong teaching. This is right out of 2 Timothy. Right here, there's an important principle in this verse. The farmer who labors must be the first partaker of its own fruits of his own garden. This isn't selfish, it's a law, it's survival. Read 1 Timothy 4, 15 through 16. You take care of your house. The first 10% is back to God, that's his already. And then you know what, the next 10%, bless yourself. Take care of yourself. That's why in every personal development seminar, every business thing, they say pay yourself first, then your bills. It's a principle, it's a law. They're just ripping it out of the word. Last thing I'll leave on, I want you guys to go home and read Mark 4, 14 through 20. It's just talking about seed and how some of it gets scattered and the enemy comes. Some fall on hard soil, some fall on the right soil, but the enemy will come and try to steal it away. He knows the power of a harvest in your life. He knows what you're capable of. With Jesus, all things are possible. He does not want you getting that seed and sowing it. He'll do whatever he can to intimidate you, to deceive you, to make sure that you don't put your talents in the church, that you don't put your gifts in the church, that you don't put your money in the church. Let me tell you something. Like Steve Ileski said, it's one of the greatest things you can do. You will flourish in all things. You'll get wise counsel. Whether you listen to it, it's another thing, but you will get wise counsel. We will pray for you. We will unlock some stuff. Let's believe in why God gave us. He said this is the bride of Christ. It's his house. It's his church. It's not a building. It's you. Read that. It's powerful to read. And the last one, law number 7, focus on the now harvest. We can't do anything about last year's harvest. We got to commit ourselves to this year's harvest. The time is now. You could read Romans 8:28. If you're still caught up in the stress of last year's harvest, just write it on the wall. I know I did. I had money taken from me, and I put Romans 8:28 up on the wall, and I prophesied it every time I walked into my bathroom, and I believe it still today. It doesn't matter. Declare a new thing over your life. Be in the. You ask my wife, PTC. You ask anybody that works for me, PTC. You ask my little 5-year-old girl, what does PTC mean? Present time consciousness. It's a big word. All it means is be in the now. Be in the now. This is a now word. God wants you to be in the now, not about what you're having for lunch, not what happened this morning on the drive here with church with your spouse. It does not matter. Be in the present now, PTC. Philippians 3, 13 and 14 says, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching out for the things that are ahead. With this goal in mind, I strive toward the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It's the upward call. He's lifting us up out of things. Let it go. Doesn't matter. If you lost a house, he'll give you a new one. Things are rocky in your marriage. Just believe God can restore all things. If your kids are off the rails, believe that they're coming back. You know, the last thing I want to leave is this concept. I was standing out my professor's door in grad school, and I'll never forget whenever I'd hear someone say, oh, I got an A. Heck yeah, I got an A, yeah. And then the person next to me would be like, he gave me an F. It's amazing the mentality that isn't PTC. It's about taking responsibility. It doesn't matter the past. We're here in the now. Take responsibility for it. God's dealing you the winning hand every time. Whether you got an A or an F, God only deals winning hands. I think that's the one thing is so many Christians fail to understand that concept. There's only 2 days I never worry about. That's yesterday, because I can't get it back, and that's tomorrow, because I'm not even there yet. 2 days. PTC. God's got you. It's the one thing I've watched. Being in this house, I had to let go of some old ways of thinking, some old stinking thinking about sowing and reaping. We got to focus on the now harvest. What has God blessed me with now? Listen, you made it to church. You're blessed. There's some people that wanted to come that couldn't get here. God's blessed you and resourced you. I'm telling you, when we let something give us purpose, whether something's getting you charged up in your life right now, when you get into these seats, into this house, into this worship, into this atmosphere, into this Holy Spirit, God will start to repurpose you. If you haven't had purpose, you get lit up with purpose. You just didn't know because you've been deceived. There's been a veil. And as I end today with the prayer, it's that every veil gets removed from your eyes. Everything where the devil's been making you play small or think small about yourself is getting removed, because you weren't put on this planet to play small, to be small. You have a destiny and a purpose that's getting unlocked, and God, who created you, is unlocking you. He's healing you. Sometimes wounds can keep us blinded, but he's healing you. He's the great physician. This is an altar because it alters people's lives. See, this isn't just to embarrass people. This is to alter people's lives, because sometimes when you stay in your seat, you just stay the same. And if you know you can be playing bigger, if you know that you can be stretched, whether it's in politics or it's just in resourcing or it's just to go down and make a stand, because not on my watch, whatever it is, whether it's you want to play an instrument so you can usher in the presence of God, whether you want to be on a team, whether you just want to just come to church and get healed, then keep coming. Don't let the enemy pull the seed out. Get in a connect group. It keeps the seed in the soil. Show up on Sunday, you get watered. Sometimes just getting out and coming down for worship. Oh, I thought that was for Alliance. No, this is for anybody. Don't let religion keep you in your seat. It's not about raising a hand that gives your life to Jesus. It's a heart decision. So as I pray for you, if that's you, I just want to be able to pray for you. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to end this service.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.